It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Sometime today, a new bill affecting gig drivers for services like Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash is scheduled to go to Governor Tony Evers' desk. Those drivers are considered independent contractors for most purposes. The bill would specifically exempt those companies from state labor laws like minimum wage, unemployment insurance, and workers' compensation for their drivers as long as companies meet certain conditions. The bill would also allow those companies to set up payroll plans to fund benefit programs for their drivers, which they weren't able to do before without turning the drivers effectively into employees. The bill passed both houses of the legislature in June. We're getting different perspectives on it now. Ruth Whitaker starts us off, Director of Civic Innovation Policy at Chamber of Progress, a tech business lobbying group. Ruth, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Your group has been making the case for this bill. Why do you see this as a benefit for the industry and drivers?
Yeah, we really see this as addressing two of the biggest thing that drivers themselves have said that they wanted. Drivers overwhelmingly consistently say that they want to remain independent contractors, that the flexibility that their independent contractor status gives them is one of the biggest benefits of doing this sort of app-based gig work. But at the same time, they also want access to these portable benefits. We've seen other states experimenting with portable benefits programs, and they're really popular with the drivers.
This has been a legal dispute in many states, the status of these so-called gig drivers and whether they fit into minimum wage, unemployment insurance, and workers' compensation laws. People are looking at this and saying, wait a minute, isn't this a way to really exclude drivers very specifically from the benefits that many other workers in the state get?
Well, I think it's really important to remember that the drivers themselves don't want to be considered employees. They don't want to have a boss. They don't want to have someone else setting their schedule. And so maintaining their classification as independent contractors is what they're saying that they want.
Now, the benefits side of this legislation gets a little complicated. Explain what this, if signed, would allow companies like Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash to do.
Sure. So right now, there's some legal uncertainty about whether companies are allowed to give these portable benefits accounts to independent contractors. There are a set of legal tests that are used to evaluate whether a worker is an independent contractor or an employee. And in some cases, providing benefits can, under that test, suggest that a worker should be an employee. So this bill gives essentially legal clarity to companies who want to voluntarily provide these benefits and say, giving access to independent contractors to these benefits doesn't create any risk that you're going to be accused of misclassifying them.
And then portable benefits, explain what that means. That means if I drive for Uber this year, but Lyft next year, say, I could carry those with me. Is that the portable part of that?
Exactly. Yeah. So it also means that drivers who work across multiple platforms, right? Someone who might be driving for Uber one day, Lyft the next day, and Instacart the other day, can accrue benefits across all of those platforms, and they go into a central pool rather than having, you know, a certain amount of money on the Uber platform and a certain amount of money on the other platform. So it allows them to collect all the benefits in one place and use them on whatever platform they choose.
If this is vetoed, Ruth, your next step on this issue?
We would strongly encourage Governor Evers to sign this bill. A number of other states have, like I said, been experimenting with portable benefits. This is becoming sort of a movement across the country with bipartisan support. If it is unfortunately vetoed, we would absolutely want to come back to the legislature next year and encourage them to pass it again. I think this is an opportunity for Wisconsin to join a growing number of other states who are exploring this.
Ruth, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Ruth Whitaker with the Chamber of Progress. Now, Stephanie Bloomingdale is president for the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. Stephanie, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
From your perspective with a major state labor union, what are your concerns about this legislation?
Well, we are the Wisconsin AFL-CIO, and our mission is to help workers and to advocate for workers to have better wages, better working conditions, and better benefits. So that is where we come from. But when we're looking at this bill, this bill does nothing to increase flexibility for workers. It does nothing to increase pay for workers. And furthermore, it does not secure additional benefits for workers. So the last guest was not accurate in her statements on these issues. In fact, the bill says that the companies may give benefits affordable benefits to their drivers, but not shall. So there is no guarantee whatsoever in the bill, and it does not spell out either the guarantee of benefits or the type of benefits and amount of benefits that would be given.
But if I'm a driver today and this law goes into effect, well, I was an independent contractor before, I'm an independent contractor after, even if I don't get those benefits, did I just lose anything in that change?
Well, if the bill would be put into law, the drivers would lose something that's very, very important. In Wisconsin, we have tests for unemployment, workers' compensation, and also wage and hour laws. So we have a 9-part test for worker compensation, a 9-part test for unemployment, and they would lose all of those abilities to access those benefits in exchange for a simple 4-part test that would forever remove these employees, these workers' ability to access these benefits in the future.
Do you worry that this could be, if passed, something that is a slippery slope affecting other workers in the state?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the modalities of work have changed, but that doesn't mean that our rights under the law and the rights that we have fought for as a labor movement and working people to secure decent wages and health and safety around our work. So just because the modalities of work have changed shouldn't mean that our rights are stripped away. And so this is really the tip of the spear. I believe that, you know, that there are forces out there that want us all to be gig workers. And we need to make sure that we are really protecting the rights that we have fought for so very long.
Stephanie, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Stephanie Bloomingdale, president for the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO. Finally, we've got a guest with a unique perspective, a serving lawmaker and Lyft driver who ultimately opposed the bill. Ryan Clancy serves Wisconsin Assembly District 19 in Milwaukee, a Democrat. Representative Clancy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
All right, you're a driver. We heard, and we've heard from some other drivers that they want that flexibility. They don't want to be defined as workers. What led you, as a driver, affected, I think, by this, and a lawmaker ultimately to oppose this?
Yeah, and these corporations are setting up a really false choice, right? Certainly, any corporation can provide flexibility to their employees. The idea that you either have to work 9 to 5 and every hour within there, or you can be an independent contractor with no benefits is really a disingenuous false choice. And we continue to see these corporations, you know, yes, finding some drivers that they've convinced that this is the very bipolar choice, and it's not. I've talked to many drivers who, when you explain, you know, what actual benefits they could get from being considered actual employees, which they are, things like health insurance and paid time off, retirement, workers' comp, unemployment insurance, then they come around really quickly. And I think I've met many drivers who are not like me, just putting in a couple hours a week, but are, you know, putting together 12-hour shifts for one company and then maybe moving over to another, who are really trying to make ends meet with this and not providing them actual benefits. And this legislation would not do that, really sets that back.
Well, a driver might say, well, hold on, you know, again, I'm an independent contractor now, I still would be after, but there would be this possibility that the company could do this this portable benefit plan, which I can't do now, which they can't do now without making me a worker. Isn't that a step up for them? A small step, but a step up?
No, definitely not. And I want to be really clear here. The only thing keeping these companies from, you know, providing additional flexibility, providing benefits, is corporate greed. We do not need legislation to enable this. And as Stephanie pointed out accurately, this does not provide any benefits. All this does is kind of lay out a framework, a suggested framework, that would give really just a pittance of, I wouldn't call them benefits, but, you know, taking 4% of somebody's income every week for a typical Lyft driver, that's $14 a week. And this doesn't provide health insurance. This doesn't provide paid time off, anything like that. All it does is I guess, set up a structure that might allow companies to more clearly do that. What these companies should be doing is voluntarily recognizing their employees as employees and then ensuring that they have access to workers' comp, unemployment insurance, and everything else that carries with it.
Representative Clancy, I hand you a blank parchment and a quill pen and say, okay, draft some legislation. What would you want to see Wisconsin do for these gig drivers? What might that end up looking like?
That's great. We should have minimum wages in effect for these drivers who are employees, right? And it is the math that these companies do, saying, oh, you're going to make $20 or $30 an hour, does not take into account all the time the drivers sit there in their vehicles ready to go. There are many hours in which myself as a driver and others have made less than minimum wage, even before paying for gas or electricity, wear and tear on the car. That is a huge step backward for workers here in Wisconsin, and we ought to have legislation to address that.
Now, this ended up being a partisan split here, almost all Republicans supporting it, almost all Democrats opposing it. Do you see room for a bipartisan agreement, maybe not to get everything you want, but to get something out there that's going to the benefit of drivers?
I do hope that our Republican colleagues can understand how incredibly onerous it is for people to be exploited as independent contractors when they're employees. We will keep reaching out to them.
Representative Clancy, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Assembly Representative Ryan Clancy of Milwaukee. Also heard from Stephanie Bloomingdale with the Wisconsin State AFL-CIO and Ruth Whitaker with the Chamber of Progress, looking at a bill passed in the legislature due for a decision by Governor Evers, most likely today, on gig drivers, their status as independent contractors, the possibility of benefits. Are you a driver? Part-time, or is it your full-time career for one of these gig driving, ride-sharing, food delivery services? What's your experience? What would help you? What do you want to see when it comes to state law? Tell us about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.